RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman. First, the headlines. Batam still has potential to grow. Thousands of VNG residents do shopping at Indonesian markets every day. Now the news in detail. Batam, a free trade zone island close to Singapore in Riau Island, still has the potential to grow if it can accommodate the needs of its neighbors. This was stated by Head of Bank Indonesian Riau Island Representative Office, Gusti Raisal Eka Putra. He said that Riau Island province industrial sector still lies on Batam, although currently its economy is slowing down. He added that the province posted 5.4% year-on-year regional GDP growth in the second quarter compared to 4.54% in the first quarter. He also pointed out that during a press briefing at Bank Indonesian Regional Economy and Finance Evaluation Meeting in Batam on Tuesday, that the region faced industrial relocation in 2015. But after some improvement, including the restructuring of Batam Free Trade Zone Authority in April, things had been getting better. According to Institute for Development of Economics and Finance in-depth economist Bima Yudhistira, the shipyard industry in Batam still has potential for development. About 1,000 to 1,500 Papua New Guineans do shopping at the Skau Market in Muara Tami, sub-district of Jayapura City, Papua Province, every day. This was stated by Head of Border and Foreign Cooperation Board, Papua Province, Susana Wanggai, on Thursday. She said the market is located about 300 meters from the neutral zone between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea, PNG. Susana added that the merchants sell a variety of daily necessities. She also pointed out that all people shopping at the market are Papua New Guineans. They come to Indonesian territory on foot and return to their country by public transportation to Butun, PNG. Susana also said if the cross-border post in Skau is completed, the Papua New Guineans can drive their vehicles into Indonesian territory for shopping. The cross-border post is expected to be completed by November. Indonesia will host the International Tourism Exhibition organized by the Pacific Asia Travel Association, PETAMAT 2016. The event will take place in Indonesian Convention Exhibition ICE in Bumi Sarpong Damai, Banten Province, from September 7 until 10. Deputy Minister for Overseas Promotion at the Tourism Ministry, Gede Pitana, said at a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday that PETA Travel Mart would bring about direct and indirect impacts on Indonesia. The direct impact is the economic benefit from the coming foreign delegates, and the indirect impact is the new values and the international trust to Indonesian tourism.
Kita tidak bisa melihat hanya dampak yang langsung saja, karena dampak yang tidak langsung juga besar, yang disebut dengan indirect impact itu.
We cannot consider only the direct impact because the indirect impact is also big. The indirect impact is the high news values. PETA has many members from Asia Pacific. The news, therefore, will be also big. PETA is a big name. These events bring us the added value. People will see PETA hold event in Indonesia, so the security and terrorism issue could be wiped out.
Yang menyangkut keamanan, kemudian hal-hal yang menyangkut terorisme dan sebagainya, bisa kita wipe out.
1,000 delegates from 60 countries will attend the biggest tourism exhibition in Asia Pacific. Hundreds of electronic and printed media will cover the event. On the sidelines of the exhibition, the delegates will travel around Banten and Jakarta in the farm trip program. There will be seminars such as travel bloggers and hotel investments. The International Tourism Exhibition organized by the Pacific Asia Travel Association Petermo 2016 will take place at Indonesian Convention Exhibition ICE in Bumi Serpondame, Banten Province, September 7 until 10. Deputy Minister for Overseas Promotion at the Ministry said the Tourism Ministry, Ikede Pitana, said at a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday that the event is special for Indonesia because Indonesia on the occasion will launch the Sustainable Tourism Movement with inauguration of three Sustainable Tourism Observatories, STO. Indonesia will also receive four gold awards from PETA.
Pada Travelmart dan Jakarta ini kita akan...
At the Travelmart, we will receive four gold awards from PATA. It is a special gift for Indonesia.
Itu istimewa bagi Indonesia, hadiah istimewa.
The Assistant of Deputy Minister for Overseas Promotion at the Tourism Ministry, Noviandi Makalam, explained that the four gold awards consist of four categories. The first category is the primary government destination for total solar eclipse in March 2016. The second category is heritage and culture for Osin Culture House, Lalare Orchestra Banyuwangi. That it is travel journalism for travel photography category for Hamdi Laksono entitled Journey of Wonder. The fourth category is travel journalism industry business article for Wiwi Hudoyo. Head of Agriculture Education and Human Resource Development Agency at the Minister of Agriculture, Siswoyo, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the government is pushing the pot for farmer generation in Indonesia to improve food security in the country. He said that one important is to develop the spirit of entrepreneurship among young farmers. It is expected to change the negative perception towards farmer profession.
Untuk itu kami, bahwa kami memiliki program namanya penubuhan ibarat usaha muda pertanian.
Therefore, we have a program called the Development Program for Young Agricultural Entrepreneurs. The program is to foster entrepreneurship among the educated youth. Later, they will prove that the farmers are a noble profession.
Kami dari Badan SDM khususnya itu sedang membuat green design tentang regenerasi petani ini.
From 2003 to 2013, the statistics of Indonesia recorded a decline in number of farmed households to 5 million inhabitants. The figure has implications for the sustainability of the agriculture businesses in Indonesia. In addition, the agriculture census of 2013 shows the age of structure of farmers as many as 60.8% over age 45, with 73.97% less educated and have lower access to new technologies. The last item to ensure the sustainability of the agriculture sector in Indonesia, the People Coalition for Food Sovereignty, encouraged the implementation of agrarian reform efforts that had been launched by the government. Coordinator of the coalition, Said Abdullah, stated in Jakarta on Tuesday that the agrarian reform can ensure the sustainability of agricultural land in order to ensure the sustainability of agricultural sector. He further said that the government also needs to promote the development of agricultural infrastructure and to ensure income certainty for farmers. He added that this effort can be conducted to ensure the declining regeneration of farmers.
So I was seeing some message from our Consul General in Bali the other day that tourist arrivals in Bali from India are growing exponentially, and that's Bali, but there are also people coming to other parts of Indonesia, including Jakarta. But Bali is somehow, I think, very well documented because it's very concentrated or focused on tourism. So, yeah, people like to come to Indonesia.
Furthermore, Said Abdullah also emphasized the importance of policies that specifically target the younger generation associated with efforts to increase knowledge of young people about various things in agriculture. He also emphasized the importance of improvement of agricultural education, such as vocational education, to encourage educated labor force to enter agricultural sector. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled In the Perspective of Turkey's President's Visit to Russia. The visit of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to Russia marks the commencement to improve relations of Ankara and Moscow. The first visit made by President Erdogan post-military coup that failed has opened a new era of relations between the two governments and put Turkey in a better position as the declining quality of its relationship with the European Union economic community. From the discussion held between Erdogan and Vladimir Putin at the Saint Petersburg, both leaders agreed to a series complete by restoring economic ties. Russian President Vladimir Putin said that the trade sanctions on Turkey will be abolished step by step. President Putin stated that the priority of the relation improvement is that there must be cooperation re-establishment at the pre-crisis level. President Erdogan thanked Putin, who made a call after a failed military coup last month, and he remarked that this means a lot psychologically. He also added that the axis of Moscow-Ankara will be restored. The relation between the two countries deteriorated last November when Turkey warplane shot down a Russian jet on the Syrian border, which made Moscow impose trade sanctions and ban travel package to Turkey. Moscow authority has decided to run again travel package, which is an important source of venue for some regions of Turkey's tourism destinations. In connection with the Syrian conflict, President Putin admitted that there are some differences with President Erdogan, but both leaders will try to find a solution. The visit of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to Russia has raised new hopes to improve relations between the two countries. President Erdogan made use his visit and he also strengthened his position as the relations with the European Union and the United States are not so good. The bad relation between European Union and United States occurred after a failed military coup and make President Erdogan take a firm stand, which was judged by Europe was not elegant. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from August 12, 1902, when Muhammad Hatta, Vice President of Indonesia, was born. Dr. Muhammad Hatta, better known Bung Hatta, is a statesman, economist, and also the first Vice President of Indonesia. He was born in Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra, on August 12, 1902. Hatta, together with Sukarno, played an important role in liberating Indonesian nations from Dutch colonialization and proclaimed the independence on August 17, 1945, at once. He also served as Prime Minister in Hatta I, Hatta II, and the Indonesian Republic Union Rees Cabinet. Later, he resigned from his vice president position in 1956. Hatta also was known as the father of Indonesian cooperatives. International Airport in Tangerang, Banten, Soekarno-Hatta Airport, used his name as a tribute toward his service. He died and buried in Tanah Kusir, Jakarta. Bung Hatta assigned as one of National Hero of Indonesia on October 23rd. 1986. Now we move on August 12, 1960, ECO-1, the first satellite communications was launched. ECO-1 satellite communication, shaped as a balloon, has a diameter around 30 meters, which made of aluminium.
ECO-1 was launched on August 12, 1960, and the elevation is around 600 kilometers from Earth. The satellite had been launched and expands when it's up in orbit by itself. Regarding its function, only reflecting to the radio wave with its aluminum layer, the wave reflection which is accepted by the station in the Earth becoming very weak. Nevertheless, with the intermediary ECO-1, the radio communication could be done up to 4,000 kilometers distance, connecting the east coast of the United States to California. To resolve the weakness of the ECO-1 has, so that later Telstar was launched, the communication satellite which already equipped with the most sophisticated technology in its era. Now we end today's segment of Today in History. From August 12, 1990, a complete suit frame of Tyrannosaurus Rex was found in South Dakota, United States. On August 12, 1990, a fossil hunter named Susan Hendrickson had found three pieces of the large bones in South Dakota, United States. After it had been analyzed, this bone is a part of the largest Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton. The bones of these wild animals are estimated around 65 million years old. The frame of its T-Rex is named as Sue, in accordance with the founder's nickname, Hendrickson. The team succeeds to collect 90% of Sue's frame, and its condition still quite good. The discovery of its frame is the scientist's to do the research about the ancient era. Ultimately, the shoe frame become a display on Field Museum since May 2000. Listener, that's all of today in history from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Focus. Today's topic is the supervision of foreign workers should be tightened. Stay tuned. Listener Saleh Daulay, as a member of Commission 9 of Indonesian House of Representatives DPR, asked the government to make every effort to keep watch the foreign workers who work in Indonesia because the complaints that had been received by people much enough. One of them is in Harapan Perak, Deli Serdang, North Sumatra. He got the complaints from people about the foreign workers who work in electric steam power plant and coal in Deli Serdang. Those foreign workers mostly come from China. Even though the report said those foreign workers have a special treatment. According to Saleh Daulay, if this discriminative treatment to local workers is ignored and do not get a serious attention by the government, unconducive situation from the local workers will appear. Mahyudi, as Indonesian Vice Chairman of the Assembly, also asked the government to be very serious to solve and look the problem of illegal foreign workers that give many polemical around people. The report claimed that China becomes the country with the most illegal workers in Indonesia this day. Previously, it appeared many news about the existence of illegal foreign workers in Indonesia. For example, last week, Banten Regional Police arrested 70 illegal foreign workers who worked in PT Conch, the company for cement producing, had worked illegally. After the police investigated, it proved that PT Conch have employed 70 illegal foreign workers from China. The Banten Regional Police worked together with Banten Immigration for handling those illegal workers, and factly 35 people of them did not have a document. Meanwhile, the Indonesian Ministry of Manpower, Hanif Dakiri in Jakarta on August the 8th, said that the rivalry of workers becomes something that cannot be denied in this era. The rivalry of workers can happen in all fields. That makes the government should focus in developing human resources. According to Hanif Dakiri, in this ASEAN Economic Community AC era, becomes something that also cannot be avoided. He explained one weakness from Indonesian workers is mastering foreign language. Other than that, he also asked the universities to review their study program that they have so that it will become more relevant with the industrial needs. Therefore, vocational education is really important. That was the focus for today.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Batam, a pre-trade zone island close to Singapore in Riau Island, still has the potential to grow if it can accommodate the needs of its neighbors. This was stated by Head of Bank Indonesia and Riau Island's representative office, Gusti Raisal Eka Putra. About 1,000 to 1,500 Papua New Guineans do shopping at the Skau Market in Muara Thami, sub-district of Jayapura City, Papua Province, every day. This was stated by Head of Border and Foreign Cooperation Board, Papua Province, Susana Wanggai, on Tuesday. Indonesia will host the International Tourism Exhibition organized by Pacific Asia Travel Association, PETAMA 2016. The event will take place in Indonesian Convention Exhibition ICE in Bumi Serpong Damai, Banten Province, from September 7 until 10. Head of Agriculture Education and Human Resource Development Agency at the Ministry of Agriculture, Siswoyo, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the government is pushing the pot for farmer regeneration in Indonesia to improve food security in the country. To ensure the sustainability of agriculture sector in Indonesia, the People Coalition for Food Sovereignty encouraged the implementation of agrarian reform efforts that have been launched by the government. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Riau to know a beautiful Tembulan Rusa waterfall. So stay tuned. Listener, Indragiri Hilir is one of regencies of Riau, which the capital city of Tembilahan. The regency is known as the Seribu Parit or Thousand Trenches City because there are a lot of trenches or small rivers in the territory of Indragiri. The water that flowing in those rivers mostly coming from waterfalls. Therefore, no wonder if Indragiri Hilir has several waterfalls. Besides, it is used as a daily needs by the local community. These waterfalls also become a tourism destination. One of the beautiful waterfalls, which is interesting to visit, namely Tembulan Rusa Waterfall. A tourism attraction at Tembulan Rusa Waterfalls is located in Ampar Village, Kemuning Sub-District, Indragiri Hilir Regency. The distance of this waterfall from Tembilahan is around 112 kilometers, or about 5 hours with motorcycle. When arriving Ampar Village, you have to reach by foot for 2 kilometers to the north and penetrate into the forest and hills. Traveling to Tembulan Rusa is an appropriate choice for those who love a challenging trip because the way to this waterfall is needed a good stamina. Once arriving in waterfall location, you will directly find a beautiful scenery of Tembulan Rusa waterfall with the height of 18 meters and 30 degrees slant. Meanwhile, in the bottom part of this waterfall, there is a pond to accommodate the water with 1.5 meters depth. In this pond, you can swim or even dive while enjoying the sensation of the waterfall. In this waterfall's area, you can also find rocks resembling the stairs to reach you to the upper side of the waterfall. From there, you could enjoy the beauty around the waterfall freely. Then you can also jump into the pond, which the water comes from Nyibul River and empties to Reteh River. Besides swimming, you can also rafting in this location. The flow of Nyibul River, which the waters comes from Tembulan Rusa waterfall, flowing quite hard so that it is widely used for the rafting activity. The rafting is done to the downstream until Reteh River estuary. Not only the beauty of the water flow around this waterfall, but also a lot of stones which are used by the society as gemstones. The gemstone was already inaugurated by regional government of Indragiri Hilir as a typical gemstone of the region. The stone is given the similar name with the waterfall, Tembulan Rusa. You can also use the Tembulan Rusa gemstone as souvenirs. Was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Tembulan Rusa waterfall in Riau, Indragiri Hilir Regency. We will deliver some other interesting topics next time. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Indonesian Air Force Women Day. Listener, after obtaining the sovereignty recognition from the Netherlands on December 27, 1987, Indonesia as a republic country that proclaimed formally on August 17, 1945, regained its civil or military rights. Therefore, that was the exact time for Indonesia to enter a new step as independent and sovereign country for the sustainable nation and state, especially in consolidation and guidance. In regard to this, Indonesian Air Force speeds up the consolidation and guidance process in its environment. This also moved its most women during the war. This woman did administration job, but there was a woman named Rifiana Arif who controlled the air traffic in the tower.
Listener, the historical fact and based on 1945 Constitution, Pancasila, an appreciation for this woman's contribution during the independence era, they were promoted military higher ranks. After Indonesia's situation was conducive in the consolidation era in guidance and the air-based organization adjustment in Jakarta, these women had to take off their ranks and uniforms. To continue the struggle of those women, Indonesian Air Force established Air Force Women on August 12, 1963. The membership of the organization is integrated in corps that is applied in the Indonesian Air Force. In the beginning of its establishment, Indonesian Women Air Force is a realization of woman emancipation. The women in Indonesian Air Force were trusted based on their intuition and faith as teachers, administrators, health workers, and today Indonesian Air Force women have no doubt the whole duties normally done by men in the Air Force are also done by women. Let's just say being airplane engineer, pilot, and provost become their daily duty to serve their country. Happy anniversary, the women of Air Force. That's today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Indonesian Air Force Women Day. We meet again next week with another interesting topic. I'm Nita Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner for today's edition. August 12, 2016. Okay, listener, let's enjoy the first song by Iis Dahlia entitled Asmaraku Kurindu, means I miss my love. Stay tuned. Listener, for being a popular dangdut singer in Indonesia, Iis Dahlia had to be through a lot of struggles. It was not so easy as it seems to get what she wanted. She had to work hard since she was a child. For example, she usually joined the festival and took a vocal class, and then she became an amateur singer by moving from one place to another one. Initially, she was a singer in Taman Impian Jaya Ancol North Jakarta, Taman Ria Monas Central Jakarta, and in Taman Mini Indonesia Indah East Jakarta. She was through all sorrows and joys, and finally she got a chance to perform on Televisi Republik Indonesia, or TVRI, the only television station in Indonesia at that time. Then she joined an audition as a new star on the TVRI event. From that event, she started her career as a professional singer. Listener, let's enjoy the next song from Iis Dahlia. Stay tuned.
Ku sedang rindu pada siapa ku mengadu, karena hati bertanya selalu, berlinanglah air mataku. Akan ku cari walau kemana, kini aku berkelana. Seujung dunia akan ku cari.
Iis Dahlia certainly was a strong person in retracing her career, even though she had been in a hard situation to reach her dreams to be a popular dangdut singer in Indonesia. Her strong principle was combined with her hard work, and finally all of her dreams came true after she produced her first debut album, Gala. Afterwards, the song entitled Tamu Tak Diundang means uninvited guest on her second album succeeded in the market, and her popularity was successfully aligned her with the other popular dangdut singers who had been well known before, such as Elvy Sukaisih and others. Tamu Tak Diundang song had never been forgotten by some people because the lyrics really had connection with the daily life of society. The story of this song itself is about the events in the human being's life. Even the title gives a magnet to every music lover in Indonesia. Okay, listener, let's listen to Tamu Tak Diundang by Iis Dahlia. Lagu Tamu Tak Diundang Iis Dahlia. Listener, after Iis Dahlia reached all of her dreams to become a dangdut singer, she got a job to perform both in the country and abroad, as well as she kept recording songs for her next album. Furthermore, Iis Dahlia was also active to perform in the show that was aired on one of Indonesian TV stations. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen one more dangdut song by Iis Dahlia entitled Bulan Purnama, or Full Moon. Have a nice day, and sampai jumpa lagi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.